is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The governor of Florida, a major interest to the Republican Party now in the nomination process. I go to Josh Rogan, who writes global opinions for the Washington Post. A striking fact. In the launch event for Governor DeSantis to become president of the United States, Ukraine was not mentioned. What does this mean? And I can only think of negative. Josh, a very good evening to you. I'm presuming that was not an accident. That was purposeful. What do we know about Governor DeSantis and the Ukraine tragedy? Good evening to you.
Well, good evening, John. Well, not only was Ukraine not mentioned in Ron DeSantis's first official campaign event on Twitter, when he's been asked about it since, in several TV interviews, he's given answers that are not only evasive, but, you know, in many ways, just nonsensical. And, you know, it struck a lot of people in the Washington foreign policy world that he's doing that on purpose. In other words, that Ron DeSantis, as a congressman and a governor, had a lot of experience in foreign policy, actually was a very hawkish on Ukraine when he was in the House of Representatives. And here he is running for president, and there's a war on, a war that he wouldn't, that he's running to inherit. And one would think that he would have a very clear view, some plan or some opinion about the current plan that he could articulate in a way that we could just understand. And he doesn't. And the explanation that most insiders have given me for that is that he doesn't want to articulate any plan because he doesn't want to get pinned down. He doesn't want to have to choose between, a more sort of traditional Republican stance that would lose him votes amongst the MAGA Republicans and populists and some restraint minded new right national conservatives. And at the same time, he doesn't want to, the one time that he actually really said that, expressed a populist view on Ukraine, he got a lot of backlash from the media and from the regular Republicans. So he's deciding not to decide. And what I argued in the Washington Post is that that's not only kind of a wimpy kind of cop out, but it's also untenable because the war is getting into a crucial phase. And if he wants to be commander in chief, he's going to have to weigh in sooner or later.
There are articulations within the Republican Party that need updating. I know what a neocon is. That goes back two decades. But what is the new right national conservative position that the governor is avoiding?
Sure. Well, you know, there's a big foreign policy divide between sort of traditional Republicans, not just neoconservatives, but also realist hawks. And on the other side, the groups that are trying to institutionalize the foreign policy of the Trump presidency, such as it was. And, you know, this is a combination of people who sort of follow a very populist MAGA style foreign policy on the one hand, and other people who are trying to argue that basically we have to have a restraint minded foreign policy, and they call themselves national conservatives. And the MAGA people plus the national conservatives essentially make up the new right, whereas the neocons and the realist hawks, the conservative hawks, like a guy like Mike Pompeo, for example, make up the traditional right. And the new right people don't want to help Ukraine that much. And they've got all sorts of creative reasons as to why we should just stop the aid. But the, you know, I happen to agree with the more traditional Republicans, not being a Republican myself even, but, you know, just being a person who's looking at the situation there, that if we pulled the plug on Ukraine aid, Russia would win, and that would have devastating effects, not just for Ukraine, but also for us. In other words, either you believe that helping Ukraine is in America's national interest, and I do, and so does the President of the United States, so do the Republican leaders in Congress, etc., or you believe that it's not really our problem, and that, you know, sure, we want them to beat Russia, but we really should do other things with our money and our guns. And Ron DeSantis is really, he really can't straddle that fence forever. You know, it's not, there's not really a good middle position, much as he would like to have one. So eventually he's going to have to tell us whether or not, as president, he would continue the U.S.-led military and economic aid program to Ukraine, assuming that the war is going to still be on at that time, and I think it will.
He has said that Vladimir Putin is a war criminal. He has said, and you point to an interview with Tucker Carlson, that Ukraine war is a territorial dispute. I can't refute any of these things because I don't know where he's going with this. Does he know? Can you tell? Does he have a position that he's just refusing to voice because it'll lose him votes?
you know, nobody knows what's really inside his head, but it seems that he tells every audience that he speaks to exactly what that audience wants to hear. In other words, he tells Tucker Carlson that shares the position essentially that Donald Trump has, which is that, you know, we've just got to force the Ukrainians to make a deal and get Europe to do more somehow and, you know, focus on other stuff. And then he'll tell other crowds when pressed that, you know, oh, no, Putin's really a war criminal. We have to stop him. So, you know, the best we can say is that he's trying to navigate the politics of this and win a primary and then still keep his powder dry for a possible general election. I mean, you can't win a primary by alienating all the Trump voters, but you can't win a general election probably by running to as a dove against Joe Biden on the weaker side of Joe Biden. And that's the bind that Ron is in. But, you know, the soup that he's in is of his own recipe because, you know, if he had just decided what he thinks about the Ukraine war and gone with it, then that probably would have saved him this headache.
We've been focusing on Ukraine. There is NATO and the conflict with the Russian Federation that does not look to be territorial. It looks to be existential. Has the governor commented at any point about that contest going forward, NATO against Moscow?
Yeah, again, we have two Ron DeSantis's. We have one from his congressional days and even when he was governor, who espouses a more traditional GOP foreign policy view, including that we should have a strong NATO, et cetera. But, you know, now that he's running for president, he sounds a lot more like Trump and saying that NATO should do more. And, you know, it's not to say that either of those is some sort of radical position or even an invalid position. It's just to say that you can't really have claim both at once. And, you know, I think this sort of idea for Ron DeSantis is that, you know, he can chart some sort of like middle ground where he takes people from the traditional foreign policy school and from the new right and peels off and convinces enough of them that he agrees with them on each side to cobble together a primary win. But maybe he's calculating that foreign policy just doesn't matter that much in the election at all. But, you know, I think with the war on and probably only getting worse between now and next year, I think that might be a risky position to take.
President Trump's position is starkly meaningless. I'll end the war in 24 hours. Governor DeSantis is now counterpunching. Has he counterpunched on that peculiar construction?
Right. I mean, you got to give it to Trump. At least he knows who his audience is. He's not trying to balance anything. He's appealing to the most populist, restraint minded, sort of isolationist, anti-Ukraine, pro-Russia part of our political world. And he's doing it repeatedly. And he's making Ukraine an issue against Ron DeSantis, accusing him of being a neocon. And Ron DeSantis doesn't want to engage in that fight. There's no upside in him taking on Trump on that issue. So he's trying to avoid it. But Trump sees a weakness, at least he perceives a weakness in Ron DeSantis on this issue. So he's going to hammer it, which is, again, the reason I think that if I were in the DeSantis camp, and they probably won't take my advice, but it's probably to come up with some sort of policy that makes some sort of sense and then tell everybody what it is.
Yes, all NATO is waiting for this. Japan, Australia, good heavens. I read your column, Josh. Everybody's waiting for this position. We've got to know who's going to win or who's going to lose against Donald Trump. Josh Rogan writes global opinions for The Washington Post. I'm John Batchelor.